To direct our thoughts and our attention. And I'm going to start off with this verse, and then we're going to be looking. So you might just kind of get ready for Deuteronomy too, but we're going to look at a few other verses. But we're talking about getting back in the black. And I know. You're hearing AC/DC in your head right now. That's if there's one time it might be appropriate, it's probably now, right now. You know, because I hope that you can proclaim that someday, because most of us aren't there in our finances and in a lot of other areas of our life. We're still talking about keeping our balance and being balanced. A wise man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, he said this: the rich rules over the poor, and listen to this, the borrower is servant to the lender. Servant. Actually, the word means slave. Okay. We've been, as I said, talking about keeping our balance, and if we apply the same laws to being balanced in our material things that we do in physical balance, some amazing things can happen. I just happen to believe that. When we really take this and apply it and live it, some amazing things can happen. Amen. Amen. You guys look like you could use some amazing things happening today. Amen. I struggle with this just like everybody here. So, we're talking about balance, and you know the physical balance. We're talking about that. Three laws of balance is, and this is from the past few weeks, that you must have a point of reference, that if you are trying to balance yourself, you're trying to cross a beam or a log across a river or whatever you're trying to balance, you need to pick out a place and you need to focus. You have a point of reference, and you see they'll do that. They'll have a point that they keep their eye on. Well, we want to keep our eyes on Jesus in everything, amen? But we also talked about our point of reference, keeping our eye on, because you can keep your eye on Jesus and not be keeping your eye on where all your money's going. And that was one of the things we said that first week, and challenging and taking away, is that you need to know where the money goes. We at least need to, you know, whatever kind of mess we're in, we at least keep track, start writing it down, create a ledger. It's not hard to do. This week, every time you spend money on anything, I'm even saying a coffee at Starbucks, write it down, the date, the amount. And I know everybody has said, boy, what you have started here, you're going to have to follow this up with a marriage counseling conference or something. Well, we had one last week, you know. But listen, and I know that you and your spouse may not be at the same place. You might not be under the same convictions right now. But here's the thing, is each one of us have to deal with and do right as God is directing us, okay? And I can only change me. I can do my part. Your spouse will do his or her part. But let God work here. The only sad thing is in marriage, if your spouse makes bad decisions, wrong decisions, even sinful decisions, unfortunately, it will impact your life too. It will. I mean, no matter what category it's in, if you two are one, it's going to impact you. But we talked about point of reference and not only keeping our eyes on Jesus, but know where the money's going. Because some of us have no clue where it's all going. And you might have some real light bulb moments there when you start tracking and just realizing, okay? And I'm not saying you change anything yet, but just start knowing where it's going. At least see it. Put it down on paper. Take a look at it. Don't start a fight over it. It is what it is. It's happened. And just start there so at least you know, all right? Sometimes you say, well, I don't want to know. That's just like, you know, putting the blinders on and just walking right across a busy street, isn't it? You know, so we need to know. We talk about and constant adjustments. As you're walking across something, you constantly have to adjust and make corrections and things to keep your balance, and you see people do that. Sometimes they'll have the big pole. We also talked last week about having a clear objective. You need to know why you're doing what you're doing. And we said last week that not only the objective, the clear objective for all of life, but also when it comes to how we handle material things, is to what? Two words. Oh, come on, you can talk. You can say something right here. Come on. Two words. The whole objective. Two words. Two words. What's my whole... What do I want to do? I need to go back. Huh? Did you look? Did you have notes? Okay. Let's say it together. Honor God. Okay, let me just back up and preach that sermon all over again here. Where are we at? But that's the whole objective with everything we're doing, is we want to honor God. You remember David was talking about that, and we looked at several passages, but that we realize that everything that we have comes from God. Everything that we have is distributed by God. Everything that we have still belongs to God, even if it's in our hand. And the best thing that we can pray to try to do in business and in life and everything is to seek to honor God in everything. All right, there's a great guide for you. So if you didn't get anything else, you should have already gotten that, but get it now. All right, okay. Okay, I'm glad that I'm so pumped up in the Lord today because you guys are not. I hope you are, it's just on the inside, but anyway, want to honor God. So today I want to kind of focus on the constant adjustments that we're going to have to make because we know what Jesus said. This is important. We know this is very important because it's something we don't like to talk about. And somebody said, you know, don't start meddling in our finances. It's not about giving. And let me tell you something. We did talk, it's not just about giving. We're not on any stewardship drive. We're not taking up a special offering at the end of this series or anything. Remember, it's not about honoring God with a percentage. It's honoring God with the 100%, the whole thing is what it's about. Obviously, when we were having the time to give and receive tithes and offerings, that I emphasize that is a time of worship. That's what that is. The giving flows out of worship. It already belongs to God anyway. The thing that is so important here is that I realize that this truth applies. If I've got an out-of-balance area here, it's a spiritual problem. So some people say, don't be meddling about money. That's kind of like talking about politics. No, I said, you've already involved God in your finances. Anytime you get to where you can't pay your bills and you're praying, Lord, help me. Or you ask people at church, pray for me. I'm going to get laid off from my job. I don't know what we're going to do. You've already involved God in it. And so today we realize what Jesus said is true in Matthew 6:21. Remember this verse? He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you're following along in our online notes, you probably have that verse already. I don't know if I put that in there or not, but mark that verse. Where your treasure is, Jesus said, that's where your heart is. And so if you let Jesus into your heart, then it's going to involve some of these areas of life where we can really, all of us, me included, can be really selfish if we're not careful. We can be really greedy if we're not careful. So this requires to honor God with everything, kind of a come to Jesus moment, because we need to come to Jesus, right? And lay it all at his feet and ask God to help us to honor him with everything that we have. And like I said, today I want to kind of move over and talk about a very difficult thing. And hopefully, if you're in the red, if you're seeing red today, one of these days you can at least have a vision of seeing black, all right, of being in the black on your ledger there. Of course, we're talking about something we all struggle with. We're talking about debt. And that's what Solomon said there, that the borrower is a slave, is a servant to the lender. Now, it doesn't, even if you don't understand the Bible, and even if you're the type of person that haven't come to the point where you understand that this book is God's word, and even if you say you don't even believe the Bible, you have to know that that statement is true. It's absolutely true. Because what it is, it's a strange kind of slavery. A really weird kind of slavery, isn't it? Because normally, and throughout history, people have been captured, people have been conquered, people have been, in the old days, in the Bible days, the slavery that it talks about most there, sometimes bondservant is a word used, but it's where people, if you got into debt in those days and things were going bad, you sold yourself. You sold yourself into slavery. Your family were sold into slavery until it was all equaled out. You became property of someone else, so to speak. But today, listen to me. You know why it's so weird? Are you listening? I know it's hard today. Please listen. Satan does not want you to hear this message. I'm convinced of that now more than I was when I was preparing this week. Satan does not want you to want to hear this or care a thing about it because he wants to keep you in bondage. You're saved. You're a Christian. You have a lot of blessings. But Satan has got an area where he can keep you bound. And he doesn't want to upset the apple cart today. But I'm all about turning over apple carts today because he's turned over my apple cart already, all right? You know, you think this is easy? Okay. Well, anyway, strange kind of slavery. Instead of selling ourselves into slavery, we buy ourselves into slavery. Strange, isn't it? Strange. We buy ourselves into it. And some of us have never, ever, ever considered that living free of consumer debt could even be a possibility. I want to tell you it is a possibility. We've got a problem in our nation. There are basically two ways that you can raise your standard of living. Two ways. First of all, you can start at the bottom with nothing. You can work hard. You can do hard work and not get even all the credit for it. You can put in your time and have nothing and not have, you know, a lot of good furniture or amenities and a lot of the things that we think are necessities, but you can work hard, you can work your way up, you can save, you can invest, you can increase your standard of living. You can at some point be able to afford better house, better cars, better stuff. You can slowly do that. Or you can use credit and credit cards and try to have all that stuff right now. Peace versus woe. One way is fast. One way is slow. One way brings peace and the other woe. I didn't think that up, but I thought that sticks, doesn't it? One way is fast, the other is slow. One way brings peace, the other woe. And some of you are saying, whoa, woe is me. Here's what I want to say is that there are two types of debt. There's two types of debt that we want to kind of look at right here. And one is business. I know you can break it down more than this, but one is business debt. And business debt is where you borrow money and to invest in something that will increase in value. And even if you're buying a home, you're hoping that you're borrowing money so that you invest it, even though you're paying interest, that you're investing in something that will increase in value, and it'll be a good thing for you, right? And in business, you try to do your best that you're borrowing to invest in something that you're building that will increase in value. That can be good, and that's very useful. But the problem that most of us, not that that can't be tough, but we'll talk about that, but the problem that we have the most with is consumer debt, and that's where we're borrowing money to spend on things that are consumed and that decrease in value. So that when you drive the car off the lot, you already owe more on it than what it's worth. And by the time we get something paid off with all the interest that accumulated on top of how much it ended up costing us, and by the time it's paid for, it's the shiny's worn out, or it doesn't work anymore. The warranty is expired, or by the time it's paid off, you don't even know where it is. You can't even find it. It's gone, right? That's the kind of thing that keeps eating us up in this country. And, you know, we're geared this way now. We even start off and people trying to get an education and loaded with so much student debt that it just kind of starts off that way. And we seem to never climb out of that. But no matter what kind of debt you have, I think we have to admit Solomon's right. It is enslaving. I mean, even with business, you know, you borrow money and then all of a sudden you have someone in a bank somewhere. I mean, even though you're trying to invest something that's going to increase in value, you got someone in a bank somewhere that doesn't know anything about your business trying to tell you how to do your business, you know, and you've got to deal with that. So all of it has this kind of aspect to it. So a lot of this may have to do with the way you were raised. The main way that my family was able to do as well as they did on the dairy is, you know, hey, it helps to inherit things rather than have to start from scratch. And a lot of the land that my folks farm was in our family for generation after generation after generation. And it's kind of a neat thing that parts of that property, I can look back and my great-greats, I mean, going back into the 1800s, were scratching out a living in that dirt all the way back there. So that helped out a lot. But one of the ways is they did their very best to avoid unnecessary debt. And there were some good decisions made, and only because of all several of these factors were they able to be successful. And then nobody can be successful now, so they're out of it. But anyway, you can be. You can be. It's very tough, right, in that industry so far today and during these days. But and the other thing is that I come from, you know, from all sides of my family, a long line of tightwads. But, you know, so it came natural to them. But you know what? Even if you're a tightwad, you can get out of balance that way just as easy as the other way. You really can, and have all kinds of other problems and be totally, totally out of balance. So sometimes what happens is, though, so I had a good example by my family, but and sometimes, however, you may have had a bad example from your family. I mean, you may have grown up in a family where, man, it was just spin, go, go, go. You never, and you kind of adopted that. Sometimes we go in opposite directions. You may have came out of a family where, man, they were always, you know, hurting for money, always arguing about money, always fighting about money, and you decided, I am not going to be that way. And you turn, but you go too far the other way, and you become a real bona fide tightwad, okay? Or you may have adopted your parents' bad habits and do that. And it can be like your parents were maybe real tight and everything, and you decided, you know what, when I get out on my own, I'm going to have what I want. And you get those credit cards coming in the mail right off the bat, and you start maxing them out and applying for more. And you get all kinds of stuff that you thought you needed, and all of a sudden, you know, you've gone the other way, and you've piled it up. Man, it's just so hard to stay in balance, isn't it? That is like the tough thing, you know, with everything, from every aspect of life, just trying to keep our balance. See, the truth is that God doesn't want us to be bound up or chained to anything. He wants to set us free. Amen. That's what God wants. In fact, his truth is very liberating, and we don't want to hear it sometimes but you know what? This is good stuff because, you know, it's like you may be sitting here right now saying, oh, boy. This is not fun, all right? I'm up here preaching saying, oh, boy, this is not fun to talk about. But it's exciting, too, because there's hope. You can't start where you're not. You have to start where you are. I think a lot of us with a lot of areas of our life, we think if I can just get to this certain point, then I can start getting things right. No, God says you can't start where you are not. You have to start where you are. Amen. And that's the mess we're in right here in this pit that I've dug, you know? And why is it that human beings are like the only ones that we find ourselves digging a hole, we just start digging faster, right? Heard guys say that, you know, humans are the only critter that God made that when they get lost, they just run faster, right? We need to stop. We've got to, it is what it is. It's not doing any good to blame. Everybody take their responsibility in the family, and let's take our responsibility. It is what it is, and let's start where we are. Because Jesus said this. He said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth. And guess what? His truth. He is the truth. His word is truth. He tells us in John 17. So his word, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. He wants freedom. Satan wants you in bondage. And I'll talk about his strategy a little bit as we wrap this up. But your situation might seem pretty hopeless right now. You might be there thinking, you know, I tell you what, it's hopeless. So here's what Satan wants you to do. And some of you have done it. You've just given up. You've just given up. I don't care anymore. I don't care. Then come take everything I've got, but I'm just going, I don't care. And that's what Satan wants. And, you know, it's hard not to feel that way at times. You're just letting yourself slide further down the hole. See, here's the thing about consumer debt. It is so easy to just slip, slide way down into it. You slide into it, but you have to claw your way out of it, right? A lot easier to get in than get out, okay? We know that. So that's why God says, you know, I'm just sharing a few scriptures today. If you want to do a study, man, the scripture is loaded with teachings about this very thing right here. So if I've often thought that, wow, what could God do with a whole church full of people that are totally sold out to him? I mean, a church even our size, if God had a church totally full, I'm not trying to judge anybody here, but I'm saying if we just had church totally full of people who just not attending church and things like that, but you're really totally, totally sold out to God, what could God accomplish through us? But can we really be totally sold out to him if we're enslaved to our creditors? So and that's one thing that happens here is, see, God wants us to be totally free because there's a lot of things we might desire to do and do for God, but we can't because we're bound. And so it's a strange kind of slavery that we all get ourselves into. And as I said, I know this can be one of the main points of contention in marriage. It's tough. Some of the main things that people get into all kinds of other fightings about, communication, finances, some of the top two things. And of course, Brother Joe talked about that at our conference this week even. But the thing is that I've got to start making right decisions instead of bad decisions. The bad decisions that I've made are made, okay? I've got to deal with that. I've got to reap and get through the harvest of what I've sown, but I've got to start making right decisions now. And I know you might say, yeah, I'm trying to make right decisions, but you just don't know my wife. Well, you heard about the guy whose wife had her credit card stolen. You hear about that? And someone saw him and said, hey man, I heard your wife got her credit card stolen a couple of weeks ago. Did you get it canceled or everything? He says, no, I didn't call in or anything. He said, what are you talking about? He said, well, the thief has actually spent a whole lot less than what she was spending with it, so we're just going to let him have it. You know, that's bad. That's bad. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. So we buy ourselves into slavery, and we've got to get together on this. See, as I said, it's not a matter of arguing about whose fault it is. It already is, and it is what it is. It might actually be fun to learn to work together to achieve a godly goal like this. Then you both get to share and the whole family get to share in the amazing blessings and enjoy the peace and enjoy the freedom that comes as a part of it. It can be awesome. But if Satan can keep everybody blaming each other, you'll never get there. That's why God's grace is at work in so many other areas of balance in our life, on love and forgiveness. And taking responsibility. And it's just amazing what God will enable us to do if we're willing to let him. We're just not sometimes willing. Or we just want shortcuts now. Just God, come in here and fix this. You know? And we'll go up, and you know, you need to start, and we're going to end the prayer in the sermon with prayer, but that's where it starts. But see, and when you come up and pray, and we pray over you, we pray with you, there's an accountability factor that comes with that. Because if I'm going to ask you to pray, you know, Dwight, if I've got a struggle, and I come to you, brother, and I say, I want you to pray with me and pray over me about that, and you're going to do that. And you're going to help me in that. I'm weak. I need prayer. But the thing about it is I've included you in something going on in my life. We got a spiritual connection here. And I have a feeling since we've done that, next time I run into you, you're going to say, hey, that thing we prayed about, how's it going? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there's going to be a little bit of accountability there. And Satan doesn't want you doing that. He wants you to stay closed up to yourself and just be in your own silent nightmare instead of turning the lights on and letting each other encourage one another. And we need to be careful who we share some of those things with, but that's what we need in the family of God, is where we can trust one another. So here's the thing, whether you have gotten into debt willingly, which is most of us, or you may have found your way there accidentally. There may have been, you know, especially in business, some unforeseen thing that happened. There may be some tragedy that's happened in your life. There could be a whole list of things bad things that have happened. It doesn't matter whether it's on purpose or whether it's accidentally or whether it just kind of happened because of the economy or something like that. The verse is true. It's enslaving. It's enslaving. And I'll tell you, it's not what God wants for you long term. This is not what God wants. So God's desire for his nation Israel, when he called them out, was for them, as we said last week, to honor him with everything, right? They would honor him with everything. And guess what? Guess what? Here's what I found. Here's a principle in the Bible, that if I honor God in everything, then all the things that I'm doing to honor him, he will honor me. He will bless me. It may not always be in the way I think he's going to do it, but he does it in the best way. Because I want to tell you something. God has your best interest in mind. And it seemed like every funeral that I spoke at, I said this phrase, and I don't know why. It's just like, you know, what God wants for us is what we would want for ourselves if we just had enough sense to want it. We don't even have enough sense to want the right things. God help us. But God wants the best for you. And here's the thing. And I'm going to put a couple of these verses up there. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as God is giving them the law again, the Deuteronomy, the reiteration of the law before they are going into the promised land, Here's what he tells him. I'm going to start reading a couple verses ahead of that. And he tells him, he says, the Lord will establish you in verse 9 as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. He's the creator. He designed everything. And, you know, and I'm sitting here saying, well, I want to do my own thing, do what I want to do. You know, and that's kind of ridiculous when you realize that God's the creator. He's the only one that knows how life works. So all of his commandments are to guide us and protect us, not deprive us. And that's why he says, if you walk in my command, walk in my ways, he says that I will establish you as a holy people, that my people. Verse 10. Then he says, then all peoples of the earth, you're going to be a witness to everybody. There are going to be people as God works in your life, people all around you that I'm telling you, you invite them to church, you try to witness to them, and you're not doing any good. But when they start seeing some changes in the way you manage your time and material things, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, what's going on with you? He says, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. They'll have fear. They'll have a holy fear of God. There's going to be reverence. There's going to be respect. Verse 11, it's up there. It says, and the Lord will grant you. I've got some of these verses underlined, or some of these words underlined. Lord will grant. See, that's a grant. God's giving you a grant. I couldn't earn this. I can't get this for myself. God must grant it. It says, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body. They're going to be having babies and be productive. Okay, good. And in the increase, grant, increase of your livestock. And he says, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. And then in verse 12, he says, the Lord will open to you. I can't, you know, I'm trying to get it myself. God says, I will open to you his good treasure. I guarantee you, if you got any lick of sense at all, you know that God's good treasure is better than any treasure you could ever find. I will open to you. The Lord says he will open to you his good treasure. Even in this case, he's talking about the heavens. I'll even, you know, there's no way, no matter what I do, I can make it rain on my crop if I'm a farmer, right? But he says, my treasure, part of my treasure is the heavens, and I can open it to give the rain to your land in the season at the right time. You know how awesome that is? And to bless all the work of your hands, which tells me you can work your hands, you can work your fingers to the bone and not be blessed. You just have bony fingers. I want the work of my hands to be blessed by the Almighty. How about you? Bless the work of your hands. And listen to this part. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. In other words, God says, I don't want you to be, I know our whole nation, has a big problem here. That's very disturbing, the debt. But he said, see, here's the thing. God was saying this. Here's God on debt. Borrowing was evidence that things weren't going too good. If you're having to borrow, that means you can't make it. You can't make it. You're having to get help. You're having to borrow. And so did you know it used to be that way in our country that, you know, you didn't borrow unless things were going bad for you. If things are going bad for you, you have to borrow because you needed help. So it was a time, and even in our nation, that was a sign that things were going poorly in life if you had to borrow. But now we live in a society that takes a whole different direction. Say, wow, things are going well for you. Wow, things are going so well. You're beginning to make a little profit, and you're building that credit rate. Things are going so well for you. Now you can start behaving like things are going bad. And start borrowing other people's money and getting more stuff and paying it back with interest. Get it? Things are going so well, now you can start acting like things are going bad. And eventually, they will be. Huh? Okay, not a lot of amens today. As I said, that didn't used to be the emphasis in our country. I mean, there was a day that you needed a new one. You needed a new washing machine, or maybe people didn't even have a washing machine. They do it by hand. Seemed like in our family, a lot of people had stuff before we did. Anybody grow up in a family like that? I mean, you know, hey, grow up in Rosebud, Arkansas. I mean, a lot of people had electricity before we did, right? Same thing in Wright County, Missouri. But just because something was new and somebody had something or even new farm equipment, we didn't jump right on that bandwagon and have to have the newest, shiniest thing, you know? And so it took a while sometimes. So even, you know, some families, you know, people buying these newfangled machines and all that. I'll never forget, and this is in 1986. I'm preaching in a church in, I was pastoring a church actually in Oklahoma City. And just a kid, was I? Yeah, 20 years old. And 20, 21, somewhere in there. Anyway, we had this old guy in our church that he was retired, but he still liked keeping his yard. He did have a little push mower. He still went out like he did in the old days with a certain type of scissors and was trimming around the mailbox, trimming around stuff. And he was laughing at church. He said there was two neighbors stopped one day and told him, said, sir, because he's old. He said, did you know that they now have a machine that you can, like, it's called a weed eater, and you could do that in just a few minutes? And he says, yeah, I know that. He said, but I don't want to buy one, and I've got time, so I'm doing it the old way. Yeah. But now if you're busy and you've got a lot of yard, you're not going to be able, okay, do that. But anyway, the thing about it is that in those days, say the time came and you said, you know what, we're going to get us a washing machine. We're tired of washing things by hand. And they've got these new machines. You just put stuff in there, right? And, you know, it must have been confusing, right? Remember that story? You're thinking about the story of the farmer that went to town for the first time and saw one of those buildings that had one of those big elevators. Remember that? You know, had a big elevator like you see, and he never seen anything like that. And he saw this little old lady kind of look a little homely get in there, and he just like, what? And the door closed, and just like, you know, his son standing there, just watch jaws drop open, and they see that thing there and go light, go all the way up to the top of that building, and they're just like in awe, and pretty soon it just comes right back down, and the door's open, this beautiful blonde walks out. Wow. He jaw dropped, he bumped his kid, and he said, Junior, remind me to bring your ma to town and run her through that thing. Yeah, it's just like, wow. They got this newfangled machine. You put your clothes in there, put some detergent, and it'll wash them for you, and it'll spin them. You don't have to run them through the wringer. It'll dry them, and then you hang them out on the line. They're just almost dry. It's awesome. It even had dryers then. It would dry your clothes for you. Wow. So you want one of those. What you do, you go down to the Sears and Roebuck, right? Montgomery Ward. I don't know. All those old store, service merchandise. I don't know what all you had here. But anyway, you go down there, and you pick out a nice, shiny washer. And you know what you do? You didn't whip out a credit card and take it home. You went, and you said, may I put that on what we used to call layaway? And some of you kids have never heard that word before. Let me explain what layaway was. That was yours, and you went and you made a down payment on it, but you didn't take it home. And then, like, you know, you had so long to pay it out of layaway, or you get your money back and it goes back on the shelf. But then, you know, you keep going in every week, every 2 weeks, at least every month, and you pay what you can on it. And then finally comes the day that you slap the money down and you pay it out of layaway. And so you have invested, but you didn't pay any interest at all. In fact, if it was on sale when you put it on layaway, you got it at the sale price. And you paid it out, and then when you made that last payment on it, you loaded that thing up and took it home. And guess what? It was brand spanking new. See, now we use credit and buy a new washing machine. By the time we get it paid off, it's done worn out. Wasn't it awesome? And, you know, I used to work for Walmart, and I worked in the layaway department. Actually, I was a stockman, and I just did what they told me, but I would have to go get layaways, and they used to do that a lot. In fact, in Searcy, Arkansas, we'd have people come in, the way they used to do that then, we'd have people come in and buy a shirt and a pair of shoes and put them on layaway and come and do that. You can't do that now. And I was talking to some at the store the other day, and they said they brought it back. Said during Christmas time, the big items, not the little items, you can actually do layaway once again. But that was a concept that you paid for something, and you didn't get it till you had the money, right? But see, now with credit, we can get all the stuff we think we need and want, and we get it now. We have no self-control. So why do we do these things to us? Why do we do these things to ourselves? Why is it? Well, I tell you, I'm just looking at my own life, okay? And I bet you're a lot like me, huh? Because I'm a normal guy. If you're not like me, that might mean you're weird. Or not. It's because we're lacking something, usually. A lot of times, the primary priority of life is distorted. That I get my mind on things, and I think I got to have things that I don't have to have right now. And the big thing is, and I don't have it up there, but you know it, Matthew 6:33. I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added onto you. There's nothing wrong with having those things at all. I'm not saying that there is. I'm just saying that the priority is seek first God, honor God. And so priorities, that's not automatic for me, okay? Can I say that? I've been walking with the Lord for many years. This isn't automatic. This is a daily thing. All right? This isn't one of those things that you're going to come down and pray, Lord, I want to give my priorities to you. You start there. You should do that. But still, you got to go out and make decisions today and tomorrow and the rest of the week. It's something that's a daily thing, my priorities. I might do good all week and then, you know, really get off track. And another thing is greed, of course. I'm selfish. The thing is am I letting self be in control or the Spirit of God be in control? That's why Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and if you're doing that, you won't be controlled by the flesh. That's a daily decision as well. But we deal with greed. We want things. We're greedy, and it's related to selfishness and covetousness. Other people have stuff, so I want stuff. I don't want to be outdone. How many people are running themselves in the ground because they got to try to keep up with somebody else in their family, down the road? I don't care if their last name's Jones or what. You try to keep up with them, right? Keep up with the Joneses. You know, it's a saying, okay. Writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Listen to this part. Are you hearing me? I'm about done. Be content with such things as you have. Now, that doesn't mean I can't have more things, but if I'm not happy with what I have, I doubt other things are going to be what makes me happy. He says you got to learn to be content with things that you have. Some people got so much and they're never happy. They're never at peace. They're never content. Be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That brings me a lot of comfort. How about you? Amen. Amen. But sometimes our big problem is self-control. Self-control. We just have a hard time and, you know, struggle that. We want things and we have trouble with controlling ourselves. Not that I'm a bad person, right? Just, I want stuff, right? Good news. Did you know one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control? The old King James calls it temperance. It means self-control. And so if I'm struggling with self-control, you know, I might control myself in areas of lust and anger and things like that. But when it comes to selfishness and greed, I might not, see? So self-control is a many-faceted thing. Do you have self-control? Which specific area are we talking about, okay? The Holy Spirit wants to direct and give you enablement and power in all of those things, but I have to receive it, and I have to do something here. I have to have discipline. So here's what to do. You know what? I got to honor God with everything. So you know what that means? That means I start right where I am, even if I'm just like sinking and drowning in debt and things like that. I can still say, God, help me to honor you with how I walk from this day forward. Lord, help me to honor you with how I try to deal with the hole that I've dug. Or maybe you've tried your best and you've worked your fingers to the bone, you think, but you said, Lord, I've tried to obey you and do the right things, and I've had some bad things happen. Things took a turn for the worse, and now I'm hurting. Why didn't you bless me? Because I was obeying you. God may be saying, because I want you to know that my blessings aren't just about material things. It's more than that. So it can happen. And some that are doing really well right now, like I said, one thing about the laws of balance, whenever you violate one of those laws of balance, what happens? Immediately, you fall. But in material things, being out of balance doesn't necessarily mean anything happens right then. It may be in the next stage of life when you get ready to retire. Or it may be, who knows, in another area of life that it affects you. So some of us are out of balance and we don't even realize it. We just make just enough money to cover the bills so we don't realize how out of balance we already are. So you might not be in debt, but be way out of balance. But this is one of the corrections that I have to constantly be aware of. It has to do with this type of bondage that Solomon talked about. I can still say, God, help me to honor you with how I start right where I am and deal with this. You can still do that. Don't think just because I'm buried in this that I can't honor God. Because the thing about it is it does bind us. Because, see, it's not that a lot of us lack a desire to want to just be available to do God's will. We just don't have the ability to do it because we're tied to work to pay the bills. Some of you are still working through. And listen, this is a great thing of how you honor God. I mean, some of us, we want to be generous and we see a need and we see something going on. Lord, I want to help with that. I want to give to that. And we have a desire. It's not that we don't want to. It's just we don't have the ability because we're in such bondage, right? And I'm convinced that God wants to set some people free here, not just so that you have a lot of money and that you're back in the black, but that God not only wants to bless your life, but so that you can have the ability to be used in the kingdom in ways that you can't right now. And if you try to do it now, it's going to backfire because you don't have the ability. You can't give because you don't have the money. You got to take care of your family first. You got to honor God in that, right? I mean, it's kind of silly if you don't have enough to feed your kids if you're trying to feed the neighbor's kids. God says, feed your kids first, and you manage things, and I'll help you then help the others. You know, it doesn't do good to try to help the missionary go spread the gospel overseas if you're not going to pay the guy that you owe, because if you don't pay him what you owe, that's like stealing, you know? And so we get things all mixed up. It's not that we don't have the desire, but we just don't have the ability. So here's the thing. You might feel like, and some of you are, how can I ever get out from under this? Okay, you're going to try to figure it out yourself, and you're going to have a tough time. The thing you've got to do is you've got to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to honor you. So I've got this, but there's a way that seeing me come from down here to up, out, and down in the red, way down there. I mean, it's so red, it's purple, to get in the black. And me doing that is going to bring honor to you. And he's going to help you. It's kind of like, you know, like we say, eating an elephant. How do you do that? One little piece at a time, right? One step. It might take a while. But the thing is you've got to, you can still make a decision to honor God. You can still have a plan. You can still have a plan. You got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, it won't happen. There are a lot of good financial plans. And, you know, through the ministries that church is involved, we can hook you up with some. Dave Ramsey, Larry Burkett, Crown Financial, there's different things. We got different people that are gifted in helping people with that. Why not ask for help? Are you too embarrassed? Are you too proud? Ask for help. Okay? You got to have a plan, but then you got to have discipline. It's going to take discipline every day to follow that plan, because here's what I want to leave you with. This isn't just a financial decision. This is also a spiritual decision. It is a spiritual decision. Okay?